So Nick and Cam from Jet, lead vocalist, guitarist, respectively, the Get Born Live album is out today.
Yes.
Recorded mostly in Melbourne?
All in Melbourne. Yeah.
All in Melbourne.
At the Forum, yeah.
Yeah, 2004.
Yeah.
How important is it to you guys to record something like this in your hometown?
We were just talking about it before because it was a particularly, like that moment was right in the eye of the storm for us, you know, like everything had just exploded and we'd spent a lot of time in Los Angeles recording the album and then it just sort of exploded all over the world, and then that was kind of like a big sort of homecoming for us, coming back to our home city in Melbourne, playing at the Forum, which is, you know, a very iconic, beautiful venue where we'd been many times to watch our favorite bands play, you know, so it was definitely it was a highlight for us.
You see it happening that early on though in your initial successful career, playing the Forum that early?
I don't think we anticipated anything that happened.
Yeah, you know? Well, I want to go back there, and I want to talk from someone who's grown up with Jet too. I would have been 14 years old, 2003.
Oh yeah,
I want to go back. Two big things happened that year. One, technically in 2004, you won the Hottest 100. And the other one, we saw you on an iPod commercial.
Yeah.
Where we heard the song, Are You Gonna Be My Girl, on an iPod commercial.
Yeah.
How does that come about?
Well, we were just sort of writing this thing, you know, of ever since having made like little EPs and then signing and going to LA and deciding, hey, you know, bucket list, let's just go record in LA and, you know, to those famous or studios and stuff, you know, but no one knew that anything was going to happen. It was like the album turned out pretty good and then it was just sort of working it, you know, like getting out there and playing shows like this. And I can't remember when you know, we were asked to do this thing, but I think the management came and said they could kind of see that it was a big thing. They thought that this would work, but it was kind of...
Because no one knew what an iPod was.
That's right. Yeah. For you guys, was it like, oh my God, yes, get me on the ad, or were you like an eye? What? Yeah, sure, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it was very much like that. We had no idea what it was, but we could tell by the way that managers and the label were talking that it was a big deal. So we were like, I get, you know, but we did about it because back, especially in those days, we didn't know what an iPad was, but we were very much aware of the fact that back then, if you allowed your song to be used on any commercial, you run the risk of getting crucified, you know?
That exactly right. What can happen is you can become just known for that ad, or people will go out and get the album, but they'll think, it only had one song on it.
You know, or you're sold out or whatever. But
this
nowadays,
that's all the time though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like now it's not the
now
case,
people are queuing up to get on stuff.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But it was very different back then.
Talk me through Melbourne and some of the iconic venues in Melbourne that you went to when you were kids.
When we were 18, 19 years old, which is around the period we were writing all that album, we would go out, Brunswick Street, Fitzroy, we would go to the Evelyn, which was still around then. We watched,
still there.
Is it?
Mm.
Oh. What's the one? The Punners Club has shut down.
Yeah.
Punners. And we spent a lot of time at the Edgy, you know, because that was kind of the closest point of the city for us.
The SB, you mean?
SB, yeah. What did I say?
Edgy,
right?
Edgewater, and Mentone.
Of course, I mean, you and I, massive influences for you guys too.
Absolutely. We were talking about Ali Daly yesterday.
Yeah.
Me and Cam at rehearsal, and I said yesterday that was a very important album for me anyway, because it was around the time of grunge, and all of a sudden there was an Australian band that were offering up something that was a lot more relatable than, you know, all these sort of American bands.
Yeah.
And even the album cover, we're talking about it, having this sort of view over rooftop suburban Sydney, I think it's Sydney, right? It was just, it was extremely important album, which made us feel like, you know, that's, it was something more realistic to aim towards, you know.
Next question is about Are You Gonna Be My Girl. There's a cough at the very beginning of the recording there, when the tambourine comes in, and it's kind of infamous now with the recording. I wanted to ask, was that planned, or was that just kind of left in the recording, like, you know, Michael Jackson's Beat It with the guitar solo?
Actually, it was not planned in the demo, because we recorded that song in Melbourne. And the cough, I coughed just there, you know, accidentally. But we got so attached to it that we took the cough from the demo and put it on the
it's the original cough. It's the authentic original cough. We don't recreate.
You know, you have it like huffed a bit of pepper or something.
Let me go again.
We got again. Really creative with that cough. I mean, I remember spending an hour just, you know, giving the guys pepper.
He went to the hospital and picked up some bug. You know, he was method.
I went back and got the same illness.
The lengths that we go to, man. But it really works out in the end. So that way, are you saying that on the album, Are You Gonna Be My Girl, what we're hearing, was recorded in Melbourne? Is that what you're saying?
Just the cough. The cough.
Just the cough.
Melbourne made in Melbourne.
You took it overseas and put it on. That's great. Also, Nick, you've got one of the best rock and roll screams that I've ever heard. I mean, you blew me away at AC/DC. Well, all of you did, but I mean, AC/DC Lane just recently here. How do you not lose the voice?
I've been very fortunate that I no matter what I do, I've never really lost my voice. I had one hiccup years and years ago where I got ill and got nodules, but that, yeah, it was the only time in my life. I don't know.
Can you remember the first time that someone said to you, you should be in a rock band, you should be a front man?
No, I never ever had any ambition to be a singer, to be honest. I used to, in my bedroom, again, you and I used to put on Berlin Chair,
yeah,
and see if I could get up to that note. Like, that was kind of how I started singing, I guess. There was a Powderfinger song too. Any song that was particularly high, I would use that as a way to see how high I could get.
And that was it? Like, it was just a bit of a game? There was no ambition?
No, I mean, I always wanted to be a songwriter, but never, and I mean, you know, how do you know if you've got a good voice? You just got to sing, yeah, and see how people react.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, and so when you went into Making Jet with Chris and Cam, I mean, was the plan for you to be the singer, or was it just like a temporary thing and you were going to get someone else to come
generally
in?
Whoever wrote the song sang it. That's kind of how it worked.
You can see that throughout, like, since we've been rehearsing just Get Born, the album's front to back, obviously, with this tour, to see the different, how that really played out, especially in that first record. You know, you have me singing, and you know, it really does mix up throughout the whole album.
Because we had to fight a little bit to insist that, because the, you know, the label's like, no, you know, Nick, you've got to sing everything. We're like, no, right. We wanted to. But there was maybe one or two where we did say, okay. But other than that, pretty much whoever sings it wrote it.
What's it like in the States for the first time? Is it intimidating as an Aussie band going through there, or do you just go, let's have fun?
Oh, well, it is. It's kind of, it's liberating in a way, because it's so huge that you're just anonymous and you just travel through it. And I remember playing in Detroit. That's actually outside Detroit, called Hamtramck. And it was like 12 Mile Road, Hamtramck, and everything's boarded up and it looks just like post-apocalyptic. And we played to a guy and his dog, and the dog walked out. And I don't know, I just remember that. And it was fantastic. You're in this massive place, you know, and we started getting some traction, and then it was pretty incredible. You know, when things start happening over there, it happens big. Yeah.
What's the best free thing that you ever got for being famous?
Probably a guitar.
I got Nick's.
Okay, apparently. Stealing each other's gear. All right. What about first thing you did with your royalty check, the first royalty check that you ever got? Can you remember what you did?
We all bought apartments, I think. Chris moved to LA immediately. Chris never really came home after we recorded the album. Yeah. He's still there.
He's still away.
Yeah.
Did you get a free iPod as well?
No, no, actually no.
Didn't even get a free iPod from doing that.
I remember going, I mean, we bought some guitars. We were out in LA, and buying guitars over in the States is fantastic, especially in LA. Like, there's just the amount of guitars. I mean, for someone who's into that, you know, it was amazing. It was a kid in a candy store, and we went out and just all bought whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
You know, and that was fun.
For me, as a drummer, I think there's one store here in Melbourne that's kind of got your holy grail of drums, but I can imagine LA would just be store after store.
It is.
It's epic.
It's fun stuff.
Great place. Yeah. Like that American Pickers show where they just go around the States collecting
stuff.
That
show.
The same thing. How good's that show? Let's go and find like some old microphone that was used by a fireman in the 1920s or some shit and sell it for like $2,000. Lastly, what do you guys think of the future of music now? I mean, do you reckon any of the musical acts these days will become influential in the future? I'm talking Ariana Grande, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah, probably. I mean, there's always, no matter what period in history, historically, there's always someone who becomes the spokesman for that period in time, you know.
I listen to the music these days on those other stations out there and I think, how could this possibly be influential in the future? What they're doing?
But I mean, you're talking about pop acts, but there's a lot of other great music around now that's maybe not as commercially successful as that, but will be influential, you know. But often the most influential bands, they aren't necessarily hugely commercially successful, but they still have the power to be influential.